story is a pastor had a friend that was brought up on a western Pennsylvania farm and talked about how that some of his best dogs would sometimes take a fever for sheep killing, which is not a good thing. Killing was always done at night. In fact, the dog would even try to get other dogs to do it with him. And this madness was just eating away on him, and the guilt was there. And the dog would assume during the day at the house and around the barn an unusually genial and friendly air. And when I heard about that story, I thought, boy, I know a lot of people that are like that, those kind of dogs, where when they're hurting inside and they've got an addiction to something that they shouldn't be involved in, or they are guilty, or they're discouraged, or they're insecure, they oftentimes put on an air to cover, a mask to cover the deep set problems that are in their life. Now, in the New Testament, there is the word that we're very familiar with, hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is acting under a feigned part. In other words, you are playing a part like an actor would that is not really you. You're taking on something, someone else. And so it is not, the image that you're giving is an image that is artificial. It is not genuine. Now, we live in a day in which that is just the common way people are, with the whole social media portrayal that people have of themselves trying to get a better image. And a lot of people hide behind a false image of what they are and how happy they are and how their life is going. And so it's a very common thing. You sort of have to sell yourself today to people as far as who you really are. And people who are struggling with insecurities, fears, all the things that we've talked about in our identity crisis series, they will oftentimes have a way to protect themselves and to give a proper image, they think, that is not really genuine. And they actually begin to think they are what they are portraying. And what happens when we have a series like we've had on our identity is in Christ, and looking, as we have now for a year and a half, at the hurts and the problems and the guilt that is in a life, and not handling it properly, not getting the proper biblical solution to it, but instead coping with it, escaping from it, addictions and relationship problems and other things occur, it is very common then for that person to somewhat accept how they are living as somewhat normal, and even the mask that they wear, the image that they portray, is almost part of who they are, though it is not really. Now, I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. It's difficult for people to really admit, I've got an issue. I've got some brokenness inside. I've got some things that need to be healed. I need to get a hold of my position in Christ and get freedom in my life. A lot of times people just live with their coping mechanisms. They feel that that's almost the way life is. And even hearing messages on it do not sometimes really identify with that need. That is exactly their need. So I thought I would come at this a little bit different way here tonight and just look at some of the masks that we have. And if the Spirit of God puts his finger on that, then that'll tell you, oops, there is something I am hiding in my life, or not dealing with, not being honest with God about. And it's very important that we get a hold of this. Turn with me first, though, to a couple of references. James chapter 3, if you'll turn with me there. James chapter 3. The passage on the tongue, and of course the tongue, when there is unsettledness in the heart, the tongue becomes uncontrolled and is a issue And it can be hurtful. It's a world of fire. There's so many things that are mentioned in that passage. And then we read in verse 17, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated." All right, a person who's thinking right. Wisdom is thinking from God's perspective. It is a perspective that is biblically based, spirit-empowered, so that you actually have the mind of Christ. And it's pure, peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. Full of mercy and good works, without partiality, and what's that last little phrase? And without hypocrisy. In other words, genuine spiritual thinking and living is transparent and real and honest. You cannot be transparent if you have not come to grips with what the problem is and the solution that we have in Christ. Another passage that complements this is 1 Peter chapter 2, if you'll turn there with me. 1 Peter chapter 2. You have the exhortation to be godly in this beginning of this book, and we read in verse 1 of the second chapter, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking." You notice again, hypocrisy, putting on this mask, living an image that is not real, goes along with undealt with problems that cause strife and have problems within relationships. And so instead of that, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. He is full of grace. And so we need to be growing in the Lord. And one of the clear indications that we are not maturing, we are not growing, is masking hurts, problems, guilt, struggles, and the consequences of that come that are insecurity, shame, performance acceptance, all of the things that we've talked about. And so it is very key. You notice both of those are in context there of maturity in the Christian life. Now, keeping that in mind, I'm going to do something, as I mentioned, that I don't normally do. I'm going to use someone else's material here, but I think it's very helpful. Many of you know that we have the Conquer series going on for a lot of our men here. And from that ministry, Pure Desires Ministry, there is a book about being behind the mask. And so I'm just going to go through and comment on the different masks that can so easily be what we use to cover the issues that are not resolved in our heart and life. And if you can relate to one of these and you realize that's an ongoing thing, then you need to realize that there's a root issue that still has not been dealt with. So everybody willing to listen to this now? Okay, got a bunch of them here, and so I just want you to be, let's all be honest here with the Lord. There's the fortress mask. It protects me from getting close to people who could hurt me. The fortress mask protects me from getting close to people who could hurt me. So often, folks who have had struggles in their upbringing, who have been genuinely hurt by people, have an ongoing problem of really having a relationship that is open and close and intimate because they do not want to be hurt. Take charge mask. This is the second one. I have to feel in control so I won't get hurt. Now, I don't often get onto politics, but here we go. I am convinced that many of the powerful leaders in the political realm or other realms are people that come from broken backgrounds that have to be in control. It's how they cope with the hurts that they still have in their lives. Think of some of the presidents. In fact, many presidents have come from dysfunctional homes. You know, think about it. Spending all the effort to try to become president, that's an amazing thing. And then you lose your privacy. You have a security detail with you the rest of your life. You can't go to Aldi's incognito, you know. I mean, life is going to Aldi's, isn't it? But anyway, I didn't say Walmart, you notice that, but whatever. And just the normal things of life. And it's this having to be in control. I'm not going to name names, but I could name a number of names. And I think dictators, you look at the past of men who have led great coalitions politically and militarily. Not all of them have been, some are great statesmen, some of them are great civil servants, but many have to be in control. And are you willing to be honest? There are always some that show that they haven't really resolved their issues because they've got to be in control so they don't get hurt. And that really doesn't help a marriage. Husbands use their being a husband to control the situation rather than to be a servant in love. And wives often will have to be in control so that they can protect themselves. Very important one. The superior mask, number three. If I look better than others, I will be accepted. Here's that performance acceptance. You're not worth anything unless you perform well. And a lot of people work hard to be the best in the areas that they're in. And again, we're all about doing well, having character. We work on that all the time here. But sometimes that people could become workaholics. People can be addicted to success, because they are desperate for people to approve of them. You know, some of the most unhappy people are sports stars, movie stars, those in politics, other places where they are well known for their superiority but have never met the needs of their heart. Tragic, tragic lives. Victim's mask. Everybody is trying to hurt me. I'm just a victim. Have you ever been with someone? Every week something else new comes along that is bad. You know, they are just a victim. And let me just say, bad things happen to people. But if you're constantly a victim, that's your choice. We are more than conquerors through Christ that loved us so. And hard situations can be turned into good situations. God will not test us above that which we are able. All things work together for good to them that love God and to called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. And that victim's mask, that I've met a lot of believers that struggle with that, and they hide behind that. It's just not fair what's happening to me. Very common, especially in Wisconsin, I think, the party mask. I have to be the life of the party to be accepted. And that is a big deal in the unsaved world. But sometimes there can be socialite Christians that just, you know, they're just liked by everybody. They're the life of the party. They're constantly doing social things. And I'm all for hospitality, all for doing things. But it's meeting a need in their life because they need people to appreciate them. And they're really not developing relationships based on genuine love and sacrifice. The pleaser mask. I can't say no because I will be liked if I'm needed. I want to feel accepted. You know, that can even go into Christian work. Some Christians burn out because they can never say no. And it's not because, I'm telling you, we ought to sacrifice for the work of the Lord. It's what I preached about this morning. But sometimes our motivation is we want people to like us and be pleased with us because we're doing this and we're doing that. We're willing to do all kinds of things. But it is actually to cover the hurts in our heart. Isn't that a subtle one? Because that can really be a godly thing, and yet it can be a very self-perspective. There's the vanity mask. In our day, that's not an unusual thing. My value comes from my outward appearance. Folks, you cannot buy acceptance. You know, teenagers literally die for a trademark. They have to have a certain style. They have to be accepted. They can't stand to go to school one time and not look up to the level of whatever their peers think is really the latest thing. Many times women get into that, wanting to be accepted by other women. The deep needs of their heart are there, and so they'll shop a lot and spend a lot of money to wear things that they think brings approval. And it can be a real trap. Then there's the rescuer mask. I feel responsible for making others happy. In other words, again, this is really subtle, because as believers, are we not to be rescuers? Are we not to be deliverers? But many times people will have a sympathy for people and a merciful attitude that comes out of the motivation is, I want to be appreciated, I want to be accepted by all the things I do to help people, and there isn't spiritual power and there isn't spiritual discernment. Now, we all need to be doing sacrificial work to disciple and rescue people, but it's subtle. The motivation can be skewed. And a lot of times then, the discernment isn't right, and the people you're trying to rescue, you don't have the power or understanding to realize that those people need to be given the truth. They've got to be dealt with straightforwardly, and you've got to get the help from the Lord and others to see people rescued, not just be sympathetic with them. You can actually seal people in their problems. That's a very subtle one. The performance mask, we actually talked about this a week or so ago. My value is based on my performance and how well I measure up. Constantly trying to do well. This is, again, can be nuanced because as believers, we want the standard to be perfect in Christ Jesus and to fulfill the Word of God. But if the motivation is to please men for approval rather than to please God for His glory, we're in trouble. And that performance acceptance has really developed duty-bound Christianity, and that's what a lot of people have reacted to. They feel this pressure to measure up rather than being taught the grace of God, where it's a miracle what God does, and we can serve Him by God's grace, but it isn't about getting people's approval or trying to fit in. The happy mask. People only like me when I'm happy and fun to be with. Now, I've been around long enough to meet a lot of people like this. Don't you like happy people? Sure. They're just always laughing. They got a smile on their face. I mean, they're just fun to be with. Now, there's joyful people that are spirit-filled and walking with God, and what a refreshing thing. Remember how many times I've preached about that's me. It's one of the great flags of our Christianity is a joyful spirit. But happy people that are doing it for the motive of acceptance, they got really deep problems. And I have, you know, these folks that everybody like because they're happy when you get around, I know there's something wrong. And when I finally have the opportunity to have them open up, wow, how they're hurting. Unresolved issues. There's more than you can imagine. Coping with depression through this mask of happiness. The I can do it mask. Asking for help is a sign of weakness. This may zing a few here today. I can't depend on others. You see, it goes back to that lack of trust that comes from being hurt and the insecurities that have come and the other issues in relationships that you've had. And so I'm not going to depend upon anyone. I can do it myself. And I'm not going to admit that I have a need. And so you're independent, self-sufficient. Now, is it good to be self-sufficient? Is it good to be independent in godly ways? Absolutely. This is how Satan counterfeits. It is the motive that we're talking about. That's why I gave those verses at the front end of this little talk here tonight. And this asking for help as a sign of weakness is a real problem. You see, a lot of people that have maybe some types of addictions or other issues or relationship problems, no way in the world are they going to tell anybody about that. That's why our RU talk to time is important, isn't it? All of you that are in RU, being honest and willing for people to be involved in your life. Conquer groups. Tough being honest, isn't it? But the minute you admit you've got a need and you want the help and prayer and the accountability of others, you are way down the road of deliverance from the mask and being able to see God really work. And so that's a very, very major one. And then there's the perfectionist mask. I won't be liked if I make mistakes. I don't want to feel rejected. Some people just have a perfectionist mentality. Some of you immediately know what I'm talking about. I mean, if your house isn't perfect, life is bad. If things didn't go well, I don't care if it was a good day, it was still a bad day because something went wrong. And then you add the needs in a heart that you need acceptance and all. And man, oh man, if you make any mistake, you're just not going to do that. You don't want to feel rejected. So you are just absolutely obsessed with perfectionism. And then there's the rebel mask. I don't like being told what to do. You know, I am the independent one. You know, I've got life under control. I'm not about to be under authority. Well, that very, what almost seems like a strong spirit, that fierceness of rebellion, behind that, I can tell you, if I get a little bit of time and God's working in somebody's life like that, I'll be able to find out pretty quickly the deep hurts that are there. And that's the way they have coped. So they just sort of push off anyone, and they don't want anyone to get involved in their life, and they don't want anyone to hurt them, and so they're going to be a rebel. And then here's the dangerous one in our culture today, flirtatious mask. To feel accepted, I need to be pursued. That's why we have people in the world going from one relationship to the next relationship. They've got unresolved hurts with their parents. They desperately need relationships, and they just love it when people are attracted to them, and they go from the excitement and adrenaline of one relationship to another. And there gives them some sense of identity, some sense of being valued, and of course, it's ends up with cheap perspective on relationships, and it's tragic and sad. And that's why, by the way, if you had just an open dating youth group, all of the needs of kids where they aren't close to their parents is going to then come out in dating relationships because they are desperately trying to get approval through the having someone of the opposite gender be excited about them. And let me just say this, folks. That's why Christians dress appropriately and act appropriately. Men and women in a godly situation can have good conversation, and we are all one in our church. But I'm telling you, there needs to be an appropriateness and a distance. You don't want to ever be conscious of gaining the attention of the opposite gender. It is something that ought to be a rule within your life. And then there is the self-sufficient mask. People may need me, but I don't need anyone. They will only disappoint me, is really what it gets down to. So I'm okay. Can I do something for you? No, I'm fine. It sort of goes back to the one earlier that just doesn't want to admit that they have a need. And very self-sufficient and seems like they got their life under control when actually it's a disaster. But they don't want to be seen for that. And then the clown mask. I have to make people laugh to hide my own hurt. Anybody known people like that? I talk about the social, the whole matter of sociological classroom situations and peer groups. Normally, a kid who feels inferior is hurting about their own identity, if they have certain abilities, they're going to try to make up for it by being the class clown. I had class clowns in my classes, and I'm sure you have too. Now, it's all right to have fun. And none of you BCM students start thinking about who's the class clown, okay? Just forget that, because you all are, okay? No. let's just forget that. But honestly, some of the saddest people, like I said earlier about the happy face, the clown mask, it's a sad thing. And there's a lot of brokenness underneath that clown mask. And then there, and this is close to the rescuer mask, this is just another nuance of it, the hero mask. I am there to rescue the situation. You just love to be the one to solve the problem. Now again, as believers, we want to be there to solve problems. We want to be there to meet the needs. But some people just love to run to emergencies. And it's not because of Christian love, it's because they want to be needed. Boy, isn't that, again, a subtle nuance. But it is a selfish motive. Control mask. These are now sort of overlapping. Since I cannot control the home I live in, I will control the parts of my life that I can. Now, my father used to tell me as a young preacher, he said, he was great at teaching me things. He was saying, now, you'll notice that the problems that we have in churches usually come from men in their young middle age who have finally come to the fact and understanding that there's no way they're going to ever lead their wife. And so they're pretty much a failure at home. So if they can't lead at home, they're going to get their way in the church. And I begin to notice that. That's very interesting. And sure enough, I begin to observe it in the ministry, and that does happen, or other situations. Some people just want to, if they can't lead at home, or if they're hurting in their relationships, they'll try to be dominant somewhere else. Then there is the put-down mask. If I put others down, it will make me feel better. Now, there is that form of humor in which we enjoy humor at someone else's expense. You know, that's just a very common form of humor. And boy, you have to watch that all the time, because sometimes they're just, some people set themselves up for it, you know. But be very careful, even about loving put-downs, because it might well be that it's because you want to put someone down so you can lift yourself up, because you are hurting and you're coping and you're not feeling good about yourself, you're not content in the Lord, you're not excited about serving the Lord like you should be, you're not spirit-filled, and this is a way, and it's really opposite biblical Christianity. And so we should never rejoice when something bad happens to someone. We should grieve with them, lift them up, let the Spirit of God use us. And we got to be very careful about put-downs. And, you know, rarely is it the best thing to embarrass somebody. Now, there can be fun things. I don't want to be overly stodgy about this whole thing. But it's that motive that's down in the heart. Then there's the unaffected mask. I will act like nothing bothers me or touches me when it actually does. Man, nothing bothers me. I'm cool, you know. You know, people can say all kinds of stuff. I'm just fine. It's no big deal, and you're dying inside. But you've got this mask where it just looks like you are in perfect control, and you know good and well you've got a string of hurts and then a bunch of bitternesses, and they're eating away at you. And you're on purpose trying to act unaffected. Then there's the uninvolved mask. I am too cool to get involved in this activity, even though I really want to. There is something about it that not wanting to be involved because you can't be vulnerable, you're hurting inside, and this, listen, teenagers know what I'm talking about here. There are just some kids that they're too cool to be involved in what's going on, but actually it's because there's a deep need. And and they're not willing to put themselves, you know, when a kid isn't willing to be involved in a big activity, you know, some kind of game or something where maybe, unless there is a reason they might get hurt or something, that sometimes just says there is a need that they're unwilling to deal with. And then there's the confident mask. And this is very similar to the others we talked about. I act like I'm in control when I feel very insecure about myself. Then the sensitive mask. I over-apologize so no one will have a problem with me. Now think twice, folks, before you say, I'm sorry. When you apologize, it needs to be a straightforward, I was wrong, here's where I was wrong, would you forgive me? Because God has shown you, you need to apologize. But if you're saying you're sorry about every little angle, there is a fearfulness, there is an insecurity in you that is trying to get people not to be upset with you about anything. Do not cheapen, I'm sorry. Learn how to apologize in a spirit-filled way. And then the blame mask. It's not my fault. It's someone else's fault. The great debaters, the lawyers in relationships, and not willing to really listen and realize at times we need to be confronted. You see, a person that's insecure can't be confronted. It's really tragic. Can you be confronted? You think, well, I've really handled things in my life, but I'm telling you, you know that if someone suggests that there's something that you might want to pray about your life, it just, and the hurts all come back. And then the final one is the running mask. Oh my. If there's tension in a relationship, I run, but I will tell everybody it's God's will. How many times we've seen that? If there's tension in a relationship, I run, but I will tell everyone it's God's will. How many times God gets blamed that it's his will when it's our will escaping from the pressure of relationship? Let me just say this. Separation and divorce are never right. You face that by the grace of God and endeavor to solve the problem. And running, some people run from one job to the next. Now, there are jobs that you have to sometimes leave, and that's understandable. But it's this constant, can't take the pressure, and I am too sensitive, I've got too much insecurity, and constantly looking for something better. Happy feet, just moving from one thing to the next. It's quite a list, isn't it? You had good attention. That was a long list, but I thought instead of dividing it up, I would just go through the whole thing. And this material, I just felt like I wasn't going to try to improve on it. They just said it, I thought, so well, and I appreciate the ministry that they have. But let's just go back. Can we go back and let me just read those verses again now in light of this? James chapter 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. It's pure, so you don't have guilt. Then peaceable, you have right relationships. Gentle, you're responding right. And easy to be entreated, you are able to be counseled and dealt with and confronted. Full of mercy, not of yourself. You're merciful with the right motive and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. You see, that's the wisdom that's from above. So I can tell you right now, if any of these masks, you said, whoa, I am there. Well, then there is some aspect of your thought process that is skewed because of some things that are not dealt with. And I would very much encourage you to say, Lord, I need the wisdom that is from above. We have the answers needed here. And then 1 Peter 2:1, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. We need to grow in the Lord. So a very simple lesson here tonight, but I just felt in light of the identity crisis subjects that would be good for us to ask about the mask. Now, let me say this. Everybody here has at least a partial mask at times. To be really open and let God show you is really one of the best things that you can do. And don't be afraid. Listen, the thing you want is to be confident totally in the Lord, accepted in Him, free in your heart, not trying to get approval, not living for that, but to have the joy of the Lord and the fact that you want God glorified and you're excited about serving the Lord. And of course, self is always there if we're not spirit-filled, and but you're able to see it and you're able to deal with it, and you don't collapse and you don't escape and you don't look for coping mechanisms. Instead, you find your solace in God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding controls your heart, guards your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. What a tremendous way to live. So don't be afraid. If you realize, oops, that's me a little bit, then figure out why. And God will give you wisdom and free you up. And let's get over these self-perspective tendencies that we have. And by the grace of God, let's take off the mask. And let's be who we are by the grace of God. By the way, when people see Jesus, they're going to be thankful for you. And they're only going to see Jesus if you're real. We are all sinners saved by grace. None of us deserve anything. None of us have the right to be approved were it not by the grace of God. We have tasted and found out that He is good. And let's let that be our heart. Let's bow for prayer.